Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. One of the many annual holiday traditions is the National Audubon Society's Christmas Bird Count, which gets underway on Saturday. The census provides data on the number of bird species in set geographical areas this time of year. Join the program to talk about South Dakota's winter birds is veteran birdwatcher Doug Chapman of the South Dakota Ornithologists Union. Doug, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, you can give us a call at 800-524-3604. You can email the program at midday@sdpb.org. Doug, I think one of the questions most people have this time of year, particularly with the very cold temperatures that we've had over the past couple of weeks, is the birds that are here in the winter, how do they stay warm? How do they survive?
Well, as most people are aware, birds provide us with down. And for many generations, down feathers have kept humans warm. So birds have great ability to stay warm as long as they can find food. Big or small, birds really don't need warm temperatures. They just need food. If their food source goes south, they go south. Or if their food source disappears, they go south or east or west looking for it. That would be the rule of thumb anyway.
For this time of year, is it where do the birds find their food? It's got to be more than just the bird feeders that people have out.
Yes, exactly. The for instance, woodpeckers do not eat seeds. They're not seed eaters. They are they eat meat, proteins and fats especially, but they find those in dormant insects under tree bark. And dormant ants and the like. That's why woodpeckers can survive in this. As long as they have trees that have a good supply of fat grubs hiding out in the bark, woodpeckers can do just fine. Robins can survive. They like worms when they're breeding. Almost all birds in the spring in the summer when they're breeding, they feed their chicks lots of protein, which is insects and earthworms and the like. But they can survive. That's why you've probably seen robins in your crabapple tree eating dried crabapples. Like, I have a crabapple tree in my front yard, and the robins are there, and the cedar waxwings are there, and all the other birds that will eat dried fruit. They can survive on dried fruit, too. So and I do have cedar waxwings. The chickadees eat mostly seeds, and goldfinches eat seeds, so even if there's no thistle feeders around, the goldfinches can find thistles and weeds in the fields and in the under bridges and the like. So this is cold doesn't drive birds away. Food, lack of food does.
Is that why we're seeing still seeing some robins even during the winter months?
Exactly. Some years when it's a little bit warmer, and less snow, see, as snow cover happens and the food gets covered, then the birds have to leave too, except for those that can dig under. But some years, down around the Yankton area, there can be 100,000 robins along Lewis and Clark Lake. I don't know if that's happening this year, but I know it has happened in the past, as long as there's a good berry and crabapple supply and the like, because even berries, you know, out in the wild will feed the robins.
How easy is it to see birds this time of year? You mentioned chickadees. I frequently hear chickadees during the winter, but I don't necessarily see them. Are they still out and about, or just have to work harder, or is it maybe the snow kind of get kind of hidden in the snow a little bit?
Well, chickadees won't be on the ground usually. They'll be up in the trees, and in a way, they're easier to see because there's no leaves on the trees.
Yeah.
Except they do like to hang out in conifers then, because there is a little more protection. But they're there. If you hear them and you take the time and have the time to look, if you're hurrying off to your next appointment or something, then, of course, you don't have the time to sit and figure out where the bird is and wait for it to come out. But if you hear them, of course they're there. And they're pretty actively looking for food, so They can be seen if you have the time.
You mentioned food. They need food to keep them around. Are there certain things that people can do with their bird feeders to to help out birds and make sure that they're being attracted to your yards?
Well, first thing to do is to make sure your seed is fresh. And I would recommend not using any seed that has millet in it. I know the cheaper bird food mixes have lots of millet in them, and that is, birds don't like it, and it ends up falling to the ground and then sprouting, and you get it in your yard, and then people are mad. And so I would like to mention to people that that is not a good idea. As long as it's fresh and is not going old. If it gets wet, it needs to be replaced, you know, and all the normal things you would do for any pet.
What about heated bird feeders? Are they good to have this time of year?
I don't know about heated bird feeders. If you have a water feeder, which is kind of a serious way of going about birds in your backyard, I know some people who do, and it's wonderful at this time of year. That would be helpful, and you will see them, because some birds can gain moisture through snow, and some don't like to or can't, and they prefer a little bit of a water feature. And if you have a heater in a small water feature so that you have some fresh water available all the time, that would be very helpful for birds. And fresh seed, that would be the main thing. If you want, and fresh suet, if you want woodpeckers, of course, you put out the suet blocks for them and make sure that it's fresh. It's not gone off or anything. That would be a very important consideration. But people know that generally, I think.
As far as bird watching goes, you mentioned in the winter, sometimes birds are easier to see because there's no leaves on the trees. I wonder if there's different approaches to bird watching in the winter months versus the summer, other than it's cold and you have to bundle up a little bit.
Well, yes. Your targets are can be a little different. Some of the raptor species, some of the hawks and falcons that live generally only in Canada during the year, often will come down, especially as it gets colder and or more snow covered. They will just come down this far south in the winter. They're snowbirds. Instead of Arizona, they come to South Dakota for the winter. Out in the Pier area, especially, there's a bird, the Jeer falcon, which is the largest falcon. Pier usually gets several in that area. It's one of the great areas in the United States to see Jeer falcons, actually, in the winter. And we, around here, get rough-leg hawks more. Out there, they get many of them, but we get some here, too. I've seen them out by Great Bear. And that is a bird that's found only in the winter here. There are several. Cedar waxwings are usually more plentiful in the winter, and the northern species, the Bohemian waxwing, is usually seen. If you see one around here, it's usually in a flock of cedar waxwings. They're a little bit bigger, and slightly different, but you'd notice how much bigger they are if you're used to seeing cedar waxwings.
And by here, you mean the Sioux Falls area?
I'm sorry, yes, the Sioux Falls area.
Now, as I mentioned, the Audubon annual Christmas bird count is coming up this weekend. Is this something that you participate in every year?
Yes. The Sioux Falls count is this Saturday. The Yankton count is Sunday, and I'll be doing both of those. And then the Canton, South Dakota one is next week, I believe. And I'll be doing that one, too. That one is partially, half of it's in Iowa and half of it's in Canton, South Dakota.
And what happens at these the bird counts?
Well, there's a 15-mile radius circle from a center point, and it's divided into sections depending on how many participants there are. And we try to go out and count every bird we see in the circle, which, you know, it's the longest running method for counting a species that there is. It started in 1900 by a man named Frank Chapman. As far as we know, no relation. He's probably some distant, crazy uncle or something. But it's a very, very good way of keeping track of birds over a long period of time. It's gone 113 years now.
And why is that important?
Well, it lets us know the patterns and the behaviors at least in the winter, of birds, so that we can, if there is a problem, it kind of forecasts. It's a forecasting of what may happen and what has happened, and gives you a pattern. So, for instance, if we notice that there are no red poles for years, they're an eruptive species, which means that they come sometimes and don't always. Last year, there were many of them around here, and this year, nobody has seen them, but the report is that the conifers up in Canada have an overabundance of pine cones, and therefore pine nuts, and they probably won't come down this year. But if they don't have them there and we don't have them here, then the Christmas bird count can give you a pattern of, it can be a forecast of what might be wrong or what they might be doing right if something goes well.
For the Christmas bird counts that you mentioned in Sioux Falls, Yankton, and what was the third place?
Canton.
Is it one of these situations where the more people you have, or is there a good the perfect number to have to help?
The perfect number is as many as you can get.
And for people that are interested in participating in any of those three Christmas bird counts, what should they do? Is there a place where they can sign up?
Absolutely. They could get a hold of, I can give you a website. You can go to sdou.org, and most of them are either on there or I can ask them to be on there. Or you can go to audubon.org. They'll be on there.